No, I'm good.
All right, then we'll say let's begin. So we're going to pick up page pay base 82, which is a section 109. So remember, again, just to reorient ourselves a little bit. So we were speaking of, obviously, the notion of inculcating within ourselves the concept of Hashgacha Pratis, divine providence. So remember, again, in the last year, so the Mechaber made a very interesting observation where he said, so how do you know if you have real emuna in Hashgacha Pratis? How do you know if you really have it? See, he says, by how you deal with situations that don't go your way. He says, what happens if something doesn't go my way? So if a person really believes in Hashgacha Pratis, so then again, I'm able to deal with the situations that don't go according to plan. Why? Because even though it's not my plan, I accept the fact that it's the Ribono Shel Olam's plan. As opposed to if a person can't ever handle anything that doesn't go their way, that's a sign that a person doesn't really possess emuna in Hashgacha Pratis. It's a fascinating idea. So that's what we're going to pick up with today. So in Kuftas, he says, so let's go by way of introduction. So before we go ahead and discuss how a person could rectify his kas through having emuna embedded within himself, yisod musad hu l'chol tsuras ha'avoda ha'amidis v'hu tsuras ha'avoda b'chlal v'tsuras ha'avoda b'frat. So we're going to see again that when discussing this concept, so there are two ways, remember, what we're trying to figure out, the goal hasn't shifted. The goal is still to go ahead and figure out how to go ahead and inculcate within ourselves a sense of a real belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha, a real belief in divine providence. The way what we're seeing now is the litmus test for whether or not I actually possess belief in Hashgacha is how I handle situations that don't go according to plan. See, he says the following. He says, Kilomar, Kol mahalich umahalich shel avoda. In every aspect of our avoda, tikun hadavar v'ha'amadasa derech hayosher, tzarech sheyihye ayideh hachnosas HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'mahalich hadvarim. Also, the idea over here in life is that in order to be successful, in order to rectify each and every level of life, the goal to life rectification is inserting HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every single part of life. The truth is, this is not a chiddush. This is Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Summit. This is the idea where it's made up HaKadosh Baruch Hu before me at all times. If I put HaKadosh Baruch Hu in my life, if I insert him all the different aspects of life, then by definition, I'm able to inculcate within myself a greater level of emunah. You know, this is the famous Kotzker, right? That someone, last Shabbos was the Kotzker's yard site. So someone asked the Kotzker, you know, where could HaKadosh Baruch Hu be found? And the Kotzker's famous answer was, wherever you let him in. Everywhere. I just have to decide to let him in. So the Mechaber's thing over here is that part of the avoda that we strive to engage in is to introduce HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every arena, every aspect of life. Listen, this is amazing. V'imanikan HaKolkan. Now remember again, as Kolkan. Now remember, he's quoting over here from the Gemara Masechet Sukkah, right? So this is the famous Gemara that Hillel used to say when he came to Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Imanikan HaKolkan. Now remember, everybody asks on that Gemara, Sarj Gaiva, Ayaki, Simchas, you don't understand. Hillel wasn't talking about himself. He was talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Khan is here, HaKolkan. Then you have everything else. If I find a way to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into my life, into the different parts of life, I have everything I need. Kilomar, im nosnim bitoy la HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'tzura hanchona, b'soch mahalich hadvarim. What this means is the following. If I give expression to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a proper way, within the different parts, within the different mahalchim, the different paths of life, b'hechrech sheyuskan hadavar kiroi, things will work out. Because whenever God is really in the pnimius, in the insides, in the kishkas, in the neshama of something, then behechrich she'in sham ra v'chosar klal. That means the item will not be deficient. V'adavar metukam u'mushlam kiroi. The item will be complete and will be fulfilled in the way it's supposed to be. Nimtza kol avodas o shala adam. It turns out that the entire avoda of man, להכניס את הקדוש ברוך הוא לדבר בצורה נכונה ובאופן הנכון. So we'll say, so remember, when the Chaber says, our job, the way we go ahead and ultimately introduce to us, it's Kuftes. Kuftes,
page.
The way ultimately we go ahead and introduce HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the way ultimately to inculcate within ourselves a sense of Hashkacha is to find a way to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into every part of my life. Now, remember, we'll say when we started this sefer, the Mechaber said the same introduction for the Ramchal, that a lot of these things sound like dvar pshutim. They sound like simple things, but the truth is, again, we're going to see the great challenges in the execution. Like most things in life, it's easy to talk about things, easy to ponder things. The execution is where it becomes a little bit more complicated. So too over here, again, the notion of introducing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into my life is a davar pashut that I have to do it. The ability to actually do it, how that actually, in terms of meaning what that actually looks like, that's ultimately where the challenge is. But what he's suggesting over here is, again, the more I introduce HaKadosh Baruch Hu into every area of my life, the more God is present in my life, the less kas there is in my life. Because the Mechaber suggests that kas is a manifestation, which let's play this train of thought through. Kas is a manifestation of life frustration. I'm upset about something, and therefore, again, I'm going to vent my feelings of frustration. But now, by the way, I could be frustrated about my life. I could be frustrated about myself. I could be frustrated about a variety of different things. But anger is a manifestation of some level of frustration in life. Says the Mechaber, you only really get frustrated in life if what? If you think that you control everything. But if you realize this, Hashkach HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls everything, then at the end of the day, why would I get frustrated if the tachlis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to fruition? This is why the Gemara says, the Gemara Masechet Sota equates kas with what? With gaiva. Right? Kas is also a manifestation of arrogance, because now it makes sense. Because kas comes about, I'm angry, I'm upset because things didn't go my way. Things should go my way. Why? Why? Because I'm in control. Let's remember again, this is what we learned before, I'm Paro. Right? I'm Paro, Liya Orivani Asisani, right? I'm the creator, I'm not a creation, I'm the creator. I'm in charge, so it should go my way. It doesn't go my way, I'm angry. Anger is gaiva, anger is frustration, I'm frustrated. But where there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu in life, the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu is embedded in the multiple layers of my life, then I will say, it doesn't mean that I'm not upset when things don't go my way, but then I take a deep breath and I realize, this is the Hashkacha. This happened a certain way, because at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan. So when I know that there's a plan, when I know that it's not random, that's when there's the ability to stave off kas. Kuf Yud.
How about if somebody does something stupid?
That adversely impacts me.
Yeah.
So the truth is, so remember.
Kid throws a ball, breaks the window. I mean, you told him 1,000 times.
100%. So the idea is, person has personal responsibility. Right, so person has personal responsibility. But at the same time, how do I choose to relate to that circumstance? So I have to believe that in some way, somehow, there's hashkacha in that. There's hashkacha in that. Now remember, I want to be clear. This doesn't mean that the Ribbono Shel Olam took away the bechira from the kid, and that's why he threw the ball through the window. Imam should never think of this on his own. The Ribbono Shel Olam needed to orchestrate. No, he exercised his bechira. His bechira manifested itself in a certain way. His bechira negatively impacted me. But clearly that negative impact is something that the Ribbono Shel Olam feels I need for some reason. That need could be a variety. Maybe it's a kapara. Maybe it's a kapara.
He's still responsible. That kid is still responsible.
I want to be clear. Hashkacha pratis. You know, they had this article a little while ago about would you kill baby Hitler? Did you see that? I don't know if you saw this. This was in the New York Times. Like there was one of these like ethical things. If somebody brought you over to Hitler's bassinet, and they went ahead and they showed it to him, would you kill baby Hitler? After all, again, he's a baby. So I don't understand what the shaila is. Of course you kill baby Hitler. I mean, it's not, the Mefer Shirai has been Sora Mora. We do kill people when we understand that they represent a profound and existential danger to society. Now granted, Ben Sora Mora is a little bit different.
Yeah, we have your small Bashar Husham.
Correct. That's the opposite side. Right. But okay, but believing that aside, meaning,
right, was there, he's innocent.
Was,
right? Isn't there something that right then they
correct. I'll tell you my feeling is, I would do it and I'd stand in v'cheshbon afterwards. Act for sometimes you act first and you ask later on. But my point. Why was I bringing that up? Oh, so listen as well. So imagine the following. So and this is going to this is a very loaded question. But was the Holocaust hashkacha pratis?
Of course.
Now, does that mean that the Nazis, Yimach Shem V'Zichrom, are freed from responsibility because it was Hashkacha? Of course not. So meaning, this is what people often don't understand. People think that if it's Hashkacha Pratis, it means that God is pulling the strings. If God is pulling the strings, then why am I responsible for what I do? And the simple answer is because you have a flawed understanding of Hashkacha Pratis. Hashkacha Pratis doesn't mean God is the puppeteer. I have my Bechira. Hashkacha Pratis just means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan. And that plan somehow includes each of us exercising our Bechira in different ways. So the kid who throws the ball through the window, he's responsible. And he should work and he should have to pay off the debt because that's a good learning lesson for him. My reaction to that is, there's got to be an element of Hashkacha. What? Now, the great challenge, of course, is that often we can't tell what the Hashkacha is in the beginning. That sometimes it takes a very long time, and sometimes it takes years. Look, and the Holocaust is never a good example because certain events of such great magnitude, they're off the radar in terms of, you know, people say all kinds of crazy things. Which, I always say, I love Eretz Yisrael. I'd move there tomorrow if I could. But the death of one Jew doesn't warrant. One Jew going to a gas chamber is not with Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, if it was a choice between saving one Jew from the gas chamber versus Eretz Yisrael, you take the Jewish life. It's not a shaylus. But was there a hashkacha? Of course there's a hashkacha. What is it, or has it manifest itself? That still remains to be seen. But Lamaisa, what he suggests, the Mechaber suggesting is, the more I bring God into the simple events, like the ball going through the window, it's a very good example, because again, just like we saw like with the noodles, right, buying the particular package of noodles, so the more I bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the simple levels of life, the more I'm able to stave off the mid of Kas. Incredible insight. What do you mean?
In other words, there's a sea boy, and did Yonah really have Bechira?
Yonah might also be one of those aberration stories. So remember, Yonah is a complex story. The Gemara says that Yonah was Tava Kavod HaBen, Velo Tava Kavod HaAv. Yonah decided to risk it all for Klal Yisrael and disregard the Ribono Shel Olam. Disregard. Now Yonah's a different guy because Yonah's almost beat into submission.
Right.
He has no choice. But lest you think that Yonah's the only one, he's not. Kadosh Baruch Hu did the same thing with Moshe Rabbeinu. Remember what happens by the Sneh. Right? What happens in Parshas by the Sneh? So Moshe Rabbeinu, right? He's minding his own business. He sees the Sneh. Very interesting. Right? Kadosh Baruch Hu appears to him, you're going to lead Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, thank you. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, no, you understand, you are. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I really appreciate it, thank you. No. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, yes, you are. Please send Aaron. No, it's you. Rav Soloveitchik discusses this, that Moshe Rabbeinu was conscripted into the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He had no choice. Really, he had no choice. Well, he said no. He exercised his Bechira. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still said, you're still doing it. It's the same way, meaning there are certain great people with certain great destinies that, almost to a certain degree, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give them the Bechira to not actualize the destiny. And I think that's the Yotzei Min HaKlal. Those are the exceptions. They're not the rule by any stretch of the imagination. For example, there's a famous Sfasemes. Sfasemes quotes the Zohar that says, the Zohar writes that by Lech Lecha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I think I mentioned this last week in the Shadow. By the Friday morning, the Friday morning. So the Sfasemes brings down, he says that for generations, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was calling out Lech Lecha. There was this divine voice looking for someone to journey. Right? And what happened? No one listened. Adam Avinu listened. So what's interesting about this is the following. What that means is that Avram, too, and this sounds strange, but Avram wasn't chosen by God. Avram chose God. You see, it's two different models. Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen by God. Yonah's chosen by God. Eliyahu's chosen by God. Avram Avinu chooses God. So, incredible, it's an incredible dichotomy. It's interesting. All right, let's see. Kuf Yod. Na'asok ato. I think this is a very important section, because the truth is, many of us struggle with kas. We struggle with anger. I don't mean that somebody has, you know, is always angry, but the truth is, kas sometimes, especially, you know, if a person leads a high-pressured life, and a person has a demanding career, a demanding job, and then you come home, and family is demanding, and all this stuff, sometimes it's so easy to just fly off the handle with things. The kas can be so destructive. So we're going to figure out, it's amazing, we get potato chips and how to purge kas. All in one location. It's quite a package. So look at this. He says, Nasok ato nevar estikuno shamida sakas. V'keitzad machnisim es HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'midas HaKas v'ayidei zeh nitaknos midas HaKas. So what we're going to see, so now it's interesting, we already know the answer, how do I get rid of the midah of Kas, is to insert HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all the areas of life, because where God is, Kas isn't, and where Kas is, God isn't. Which is why, by the way, again, going back to the Kas Gaiva, Gaiva and Kas are two sides of the same exact coin. They're sister midos. They go hand in hand. So therefore, again, the simple answer, the way to rid myself of Kas, is to fill up that space in my life with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So look what he writes. Ma maybe es ha'adam lidei Kas. Why do people get angry? Ha'bechina harishona va'pshutahi. So again, the simple answer to that question is, Kol davar sheminagid esritzono shala adam, who mevil udekas. Simple answer is, why do I get angry? Something doesn't go my way. But that, you know, the difference is, we're not so different when we're 30 or 40 than we were when we were 3 or 4. Right? So the difference just is, we throw more sophisticated fits. Right? So instead of going ahead and just throwing my toys and laying down on the floor and crying and banging my fists on the floor, so we do all other kinds of things to get upset. But again, general, the meat of kas boils down to, life, a situation doesn't go my way, and I'm angry. Sometimes the kas itself is very nuanced. Sometimes it can't even be actively felt. Upamim kas chazak mod peish pe gimel. Sometimes the kas is very strong. Asher yesh lo gilui ma'od b'lev. Where the kas, again, is very manifest in my heart. Ad hakas hachazak v'atokif sheyesh lo gilui afilu b'chitzonios, b'fanav shel adam. So as I see here, he's describing three levels of kas. There's, I guess, what we'd call subconscious kas. We must say, you should know, like, a lot of people walk around like this. They're really angry people. They look very happy. They look very happy and they look very jovial, but there's a lot of anger inside. Sometimes that anger is bottled up and the person might not even be aware of the anger, but it's subconscious kas. Then there's, I guess, what we'll call, you know, more conscious but not apparent kas. So meaning I'm angry on the inside, but I've got a good life poker face. You know, I look very happy, I look very fine. And then of course there's the third level of kas, where the anger is so intense from the inside, that's what? That it spills out. That it's simply uncontainable. It shows up again on my external persona. So he goes on, he says, Bechina nosefes, shemevili dekas, hi nichla bechina harishon, ele shi yosir diakis in mufuratas, hu asher pogim bechvodo shal adam. Oh. So we'll say, so again, so the first major reason for kas is that things don't go my way. The second reason why people fall into the trap of kas is because someone is pogim in my kavod. Someone is pogim in my kavod. It's like, you know, we do so much differently. There are so many things that we do for kavod and out of kavod without even realizing it, that kavod is driving. So there was a number of years ago, there was an amazing article in the Wall Street Journal about, it was a hedge fund that did not have a very good year. So they couldn't hand out end of year bonuses. So what did they do? They gave out titles. So this one became the vice president of this, and this one became, so okay, it's a great chap, but what's the real chap? The real chap is that employee satisfaction went through the roof. So what was amazing, that they gave out kavod instead of money, and for many people, that kavod was incredibly fulfilling. Incredible yisod. Man by definition wants kavod. You should know, by the way, why does man by definition want kavod? Because we're at Tzelem Elokim. And as a Tselem Elokim, as an image, I realize that I'm worthy, I'm important, I should be respected. It comes from a holy place. Just often the manifestation of it is unhealthy. So two reasons people get angry, either because, again, things don't go my way, or because somebody nicks my covet, right? Somebody takes away from my covet, takes away from my honor. This makes me angry. Now, both say this is all predicated on one simple mindset, which is what? The most dangerous mindset that man could ever possess is contained in two words. What are the two words? Magia li. If I live a life of magia li, it's coming to me. I'm owed it. It's a big problem that we face in today's society, of a society of entitlement. I mean, without getting political. But, you know, again, we had a president who was elected pretty much because of people thought they would get entitlements. It's an incredible thing. So what happens? A person thinks magiali, I guess that was political, but a person goes ahead and a person has their covet is damaged, and a person is, now again, if a person is humble, they realize that nobody owes me any covet. who am I? What am I that I'm entitled to the level of covet? But most of us don't think that way. And so when someone's poking in my covet, I feel like you're taking away something that is owed to me. I am entitled to this covet, and you're taking it away, and therefore I get angry. Well, so let's do one more paragraph. Kuf Yud Aleph. But often klali, in a general sense, hadavar shemebi esa adam lidei kas, mishalik lebeiz ofanim. Therefore again, in a general sense, the two things that bring a person to anger are Aleph, Bitl Ritzono, Shana'aseh Shelo Ayidei Adam, Ela Ayidei Darchei HaTeva. So the first reason a person gets angry is not because of anything anyone did to me, but rather what he calls Darchei HaTeva. Darchei means life doesn't go my way. That's the first category. I'm angry because life did not go my way. No one harmed me, no one wronged me, but you know, circumstances are not the way I want, and I'm angry. Beis, Bitl Ritzono, Shana'aseh Ayidei Adam. Nitein dugmos ledavar. Second reason why people get angry is why? Because again, my will has been negated through the actions of others. In other words, someone else has adversely impacted me, and therefore I'm angry. What's an example of this? Adam kam babok, evin oseya. What happens? I get up in the morning, get in my car. Lefesa na'asechur bagalgal. What happens? Flat tire. Hole in the tire. V'e'afshar lo linsal kereg, and therefore I can't drive right now. Ma'asezeh. Lo naasi b'dei adam, elazehu tibo shel galgal shenishchak, ad asher miskalkel lechalutin. So what happened? They got a flat tire. We'll say, is this anyone's fault? No, no one's fault. It's just, you know, this, whatever happened. Circumstances out of my control. Ma'asa zeh yochol lahavi esa adam lidikas. So this episode can make a person very angry. I had a plan. What was my plan? My plan was that I was going to be at work by 9 o'clock in the morning. And, now I got the flat tire. And now my plan is not going to materialize. Right? And I'm angry because the plan is not materialized. I'm angry that things have not gone my way. Ulam. Ein lo li adam. Ein lo adam. Ein ulam. Ein lo adam shiyucha licho salav. Shahari ma'asazelo na'asabi the adam klal. Now remember again, but who do I get angry at? Now, the truth is, both say, when these situations happen, often people do get angry at someone, right? They will usually lash out, but okay, but before we'll talk about that also, but I'm not angry at anyone, I'm angry at the situation. Imkain, imtishal as ha'adam al miyatakois ala galgal. So you ask a person, who are you angry at the tire? Okay, you're angry, I'm angry. Who am I angry at? Is it the tire? Bevada Yoshiv Chuva Nitzachas Law? Of course not. Ain't any kois ala galgal, ela al hamatzav bo'ani nimtza. But rather, you know what I'm upset? I'm upset about this situation. I'm upset about the situation in which I'm in. Shemach shvosi utchunasi einam omdim emivchan ha-metzius. Because what I wanted and my plan does not stand up in the reality. Nimtza shalach ora in kas mugdar negem yishu. But again, my anger is not directed at any particular individual. I'll do one more section. Kof yud beis. V'hinei ha-ofen ha-shenihu. Then we'll really stop. Right? So then what happens? But what's the second type of anger? Hu ka-asher dover kor la-adam ayidei adam. So what happens? Second form of anger is I'm angry at someone. I'm angry at another individual. Kigon shalaploni shavar es chalon beso. So what happened? Someone broke my window. Right? Someone broke my window. Besug mina ofen azeh hari baofen tivi yesh klape mili panos esakas. Now in that case, I have someone at whom I can direct my anger. Vu klape adam mavurar. Right. It's again. It's right. So the anger is directed towards someone specific. Shua mazik. He's the damager. Nimtz imkein sheish beizof anim shalkas. Therefore, we see again two categories of anger. Echad kash sheinu mavura klavi mikois. First form of anger. I don't know who. I'm not angry at any one particular individual. It's not clear as to who I'm angry at because I'm not really angry at a person. I'm angry at the situation. Mipnei shein al milichos beiz kaas klavi adam shugaram lolichos lichos. Anger number two, form number two, I'm angry at the person about whom caused me the damage. Let's just finish this section. Ulam, page pay dalut, ulam, the emes bepnimiyas hadvarim, listen to this, the olam kol mini akash shavimheim. Says in the Chabad, at the end of the day, anger is anger is anger. All forms of anger are really, they're all the same. Univares hadvarim, we'll explain this more. Kashera adam yavines ha'emuna heite b'mocho. Because when a person really understands emuna and HaKadosh Baruch Hu well in his mind, V'yakira heitev b'libo, and he understands it in his heart, azay yaskil v'yovin, he'll understand, shebechol ha'ofanim shalakas, in all forms of anger, mi shebe'emes asas ha'pu'ula shevi asuli dekas, eina ela habori yisbarach shemo. Oh, trust me, this is a powerful word to end off with. We're going to see that as much as L'maisa, we try to categorize anger in two different categories. We try to put it in two different categories. Anger, what we'll call situational anger and interpersonal anger. Situational anger is, I'm angry at the situation. Interpersonal anger is that ultimately I'm angry at the individual. At the end of the day, all anger emanates from the same place, which is what? A lack of recognition of the one who put me in this situation to begin with. And somehow, if we're able to rectify that understanding, that high-level understanding, it's possible that we'll be able to deal with all forms of anger.
Anger in the matzah was really anger at Hashem.
Correct. But he's going to say, it's really both. Because really, you're correct. Meaning at the end, and that's the scary part of this. That really, when that tire blows out, and it's not the potholes in the road, and it's not just got a flat tire. You're right, it's anger at Kadosh Baruch Hu. But what the Mechaber is going to say is, if we're honest with ourselves, it's true even when the kid throws the football through the window. That's also anger at Kadosh Baruch Hu. You're right, it's easier to see than the first one, but really anger is anger is anger. What anger means is, I want things to go a certain way because I control it. I'm Paro, I'm the creator, I'm the Baal Gaiva, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu shouldn't have the right to control the situations of my life. That's the scary part of what anger really is.
I always think that you should have like two parts to the second one. The first one is where like a flat tire was just like, there's really no one to blame. Second one is where there's someone to blame, but it's potentially accidental. And the third one is when there's someone to blame, and maybe it's not so accidental.
Oh, so good. So we're going to break it down into further examples like that. But understand, you know where this is going. And the truth is, they're going to end up in the same place, which is, it all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you're right. And I want to be clear, this is, you remember when there was I think I mentioned this also, I feel like I mentioned a lot of things already. I'm running out of material. I apologize. But remember, Baruch Hashem, but remember again, when there was the shooting in the Amish schoolhouse. A couple of years ago. It was amazing that the Amish community came out with that statement almost like right after the shooting, they forgive the killer. Right. It's like the Amish Kedarkam, right? This is like the unconditional forgiveness. And it was interesting because it sparked a lot of religious discussion about the nature of forgiveness. So, you know, Judaism doesn't believe in a forgiveness like that. We believe in earned forgiveness. We forgive, but the person who committed the crime, this is very important, and I can't say it enough. Hashgacha Pratis does not absolve anyone of personal responsibility. And by the way, Hashgacha Pratis also doesn't mean that I have to say, oh, you slashed my tires? It's okay. It's okay. You know, that's not what this means. So if you wronged me and you were negligent, I have a right, first I have a right to sue you. This week's parasha is about them. Meaning, if I just have to forgive everything, there'd be no din of nezikin. So I have a right to be upset at you, I have a right to be angry at you, I have a right to collect damages from you.
Do you?
I'm sorry?
Do you?
Yeah, we're going to see.
You have a right to be angry? Or
I shouldn't use the word angry. I shouldn't upset. Upset. Meaning, I have the right. I have the right.
Metala then has no emotional.
No, I'll tell you. I'll tell you why. There's a simple din. There's another din. Remember of. So what does rebuke mean? You did something wrong. So if you're negligent and you damage me, I have every right to say, you know, you really shouldn't have done that. You should be much more careful. So maybe we'll have to take anger out of our lexicon for now, because we're trying to rid ourselves of anger. But I have the right to have a strong emotional response towards the other individual, because again, especially if they were negligent and they caused me pain and they caused me loss, I have every right to respond. So, you know what, I'll tell you why this has to be true. Your child runs across the street without looking both ways. Right? So, you know, New Age parenting is very different. New Age parenting.
Let's think about it.
Let's talk about what you did. Right? Let's talk. So, right. Exactly. Right? So, meaning, sometimes there has to be a display of kas. Because if my child doesn't see me get upset, then my child's not going to understand what they did wrong. So sometimes it's the same thing also with damages. That a person has to understand, that what they did is wrong.
Is that Hashem saying have an emotional response? That's justice. But I was.
Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell us to get angry. Kadosh Baruch Hu just said kill him.
Okay, so in other words, the response to the kid, to the Nazis, to anybody, is not necessarily an emotional response of kas, but an intellectual one. In other words,
correct.
I'm
not suggesting yelling or screaming or things like that, but there has to be a response that indicates that what you did was wrong. There are ways to frame that response outside of the framework of kas. Kas doesn't even have to come into it. It doesn't have to be angry. You know, sometimes the greatest lessons we receive from our parents were not in a fit of parental rage. In fact, more often than not, when parents yell and scream, generally kids tune out. But there's a way for a parent to express an incredible displeasure and disappointment with their child without resorting to anger.
But am I allowed to have kase at the Nazis? I'm allowed to have hate.
Hate is not kas. I'm allowed to have hatred. I hate evil. Uh-huh. I hate Amalek. I hate the fact that there's evil in this world, and I hate the fact that evil corrupts so much good.
So what is kas? Is kas an uncontrolled
hate? No, kas, as we're going to see, the definition of kas is a sense of anger and frustration because I'm not in control of my circumstances. That's if you want the technical definition according to the Mechaber, that's kas.
Hate is controlled.
And hate could be intellectual, by the way. Hate doesn't even have to be emotional. I hate Amalek. I could say that in an intellectual way. My heart's not brimming with hatred for Amalek, but I know that intellectually I possess that midah.
I'm allowed.
Absolutely.
Something happened to one of my kids one time, and I heard him, and he said, Hashem is... No. He said, Hashem, you're so stupid. So I didn't know. I didn't want to say no because he's right, and not that he's right, but I liked where his mind frame was heading. In other words, he blaming it on Hashem was nobody else's fault. But whatever, I'm just saying. Right. Technically, he's right in that sense.
He's being makir that it was the Ribono Shel Olam that did it. Right. So you just have to find a way just to channel that.
It's your fault.
Yeah, correct. You just have to find a way to channel it. Shkayach HaMasa.
Getting the tire, the busted up tire.